Thank you, Happy Day Singers. We really appreciate that number, and I'm sure everyone else did, too, that listened in. Now, these folks do have tapes, and I'm sure some of you are going to want them, but this is the mercies of God, and we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how we thank Thee today for the living hope that You give us when You save us with our everlasting salvation. We praise Thee today that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We praise Thee that one of these days, Lord, You're going to split the heavens, that the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Thee in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Thee. Yes, we want to meet Thee, and we look forward to this reality taking place in our lives of those of us that know Thee. Our Father, we thank You today for this precious privilege we have of broadcasting Thy truth to the boys and girls and men and women as they are, and we ask Thee that Thou wilt cause many of them to tune in and listen to the broadcast. Then, our God, we thank Thee for the way that Thou dost supply all our needs from day to day. We praise Thee that Thy sufficiency is absolute, and how great is Thy faithfulness. And we just want to thank Thee today for this precious privilege that we have. But, Lord, we ask now for Thy blessing upon this endeavor, because, Lord, without Thee we can do nothing. And so we pray, sanctify this effort, make it acceptable in Thy sight, then use it for Thy glory and honor, and for the salvation of lost sinners. Be with those that are afflicted and sick at this hour, Lord. Watch over them, encourage them, and raise them back to health as it please Thee. We pray for a great awakening to take place, and we ask Thee, our God, be pleased to spare America a little longer, because without Thee we are absolutely doomed and damned forever. O Lord, bring an awakening across this nation, as only Thou canst do. Now give listening ears as we continue with the broadcast, Lord, and all the glory, if there is any, belongs to Thee. We ask it in Thy precious name. Amen. Our subject today is the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today we're going to look at another aspect of our Lord with regard to His love for us. Now remember, love is an emotion, and we are discussing, or studying, I should say, the emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when we look at this portion of the Word of God, because the Song of Solomon is a love song, and we find it's a song between Christ and His church, as well as between an individual and His beloved. And we see, as we look at this portion of the Word of God, we're going to look at the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're talking about the emotions of Christ. And some people today, they try to sentimentalize the Lord Jesus and bring Him down to the level of humanity and try to make Him to be, as it were, a sinner. I heard one preacher say that he believed when the Lord Jesus was a teenager, He was just about as rebellious as the teenagers are at this present hour. That is not so. That is an absolute lie, and that individual needs to go back and study his Bible. Now, as we look at this portion of the Word of God, we're going to look at the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we're going to look at the metaphor of the kiss set forth. Now, kisses betoken love and goodwill to the party receiving them. You don't kiss your enemies. You kiss those that you love. And we find, therefore, they betoken love and goodwill to the party receiving them. And the Scripture tells us that we are to greet the brethren with a holy kiss. That means there's love and goodwill to the party receiving them on the part of the individual giving them or given them. Then we find kisses are both the privilege and the right of covenant relations. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? The church has the privilege and the liberty to request this of Christ and receive it. Now, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verses 1 through 2 of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And oh, how true that is. Solomon is an Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find here the individual is saying, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And I'll tell you right now, the greatest thing that can happen to you is for you to realize and to fall in love, how much the Lord loves you, and then to fall in love with Him. And this is what happens when our Lord reaches down and redeems us. Now, the church has the privilege and the liberty to request this of Christ and to receive it. The third thing about the metaphor of kisses is this. Kisses of the mouth are expressions of high favor. Preacher, what are you talking about? In Song of Solomon, chapter 1 again, verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Oh, what do we have here? We find the kisses of the mouth have virtue in them as they tend to increase love in the object or a more ardent affection. The favor of Christ should do the same for every one of us who know him. Oh, if you would just stop and realize for a moment how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He loved you so much that he went to Calvary's cross on your behalf. He loved you so much that he suffered the torments of the damned on your behalf. He loved you so much that he endured the displeasure of the Father who turned his back upon him and abandoned him, not because of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, but because of what we had done against the Lord God of heaven. And God being a just God, his justice had to be satisfied. This is a little inkling of what the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. And it's no wonder that Paul said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we find the kisses of the mouth have virtue in them as they tend to increase love in the object or a more ardent affection. The favor of Christ should do the same to us. And I want to ask you a question today. You believers that are listening to me at this hour, because many of you do. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this question. When's the last time you just sat down in some place in your home, or maybe in your car, or somewhere else, just you and the Lord, and you sat down and began to talk to him and tell him how much you loved him? Oh, my friend, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get alone with the Lord and let the love of Christ dawn upon your heart, and you see the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ as they become a reality to your heart will cause the affection in you to rise up and well into a greater volume than ever before. Now, this is the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the metaphor of the kiss set forth. Now, let's look at the kiss in the Bible for just a few moments. Take your Bibles now. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 20, and I want you to look with me at verse 41. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 41. And listen to what the Word of God says. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 41, we read these words. Listen to it. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. Now, some vile mind would try to say that David and Jonathan here were homosexual, but my friend, they weren't. Here you have the kiss of salutation. This is the meaning of the kiss in the Bible. Now, do we find this in the New Testament? Yes, we do. Take your Bibles again now. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look with me at verse 26 where it says, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Here you see the kiss of salutation set forth in the Word of God. Now, go back again and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 14 and look with me at verse 33. In 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 33, you have the kiss of reconciliation set forth. Listen to what it says. 2 Samuel 14 verse 33. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Here you have the kiss of reconciliation. Now, someone might say, now, does that happen to the sinner? Yes, it does. Take your Bibles now, turn to Luke chapter 15, and look with me at verse 20 down through verse 22. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy son, and am no more in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father saith to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Here you have the kiss of reconciliation. Now let me stop right here. Has this ever happened to you, my radio friend? You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Has the Lord God of heaven ever kissed you with the kiss of reconciliation? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the kiss of reconciliation. Whenever our Lord saves a sinner, he kisses that sinner with the kiss of reconciliation, and is portrayed for us in Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 22. Now, this is the second aspect of the kiss in the Scripture. Now, we find the third one is found in Ruth chapter 1, and look with me in verses 9 through 14. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, and we find in verses 9 and verse 14, we see the Scripture brings here the kiss of farewell. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Ruth chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord grant you that each may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and lifted up their voice, and wept. Here's a kiss of farewell. And in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. This is a kiss again in the Scripture. There's a kiss of farewell. We find there's three kisses now: salutation, reconciliation, and farewell. Now take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Psalm chapter 2. And look at it, if you will. Verse 12. Here's what the Lord advises every individual to do. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. If you do that, you're being wise. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. What do you have here? You have here the kiss of subjection. Now, beloved, I want to say something to you very kindly, and I want you to let it soak in, if you will. You don't find in the Scripture that an individual first trusts Jesus as Savior and then crowns him as Lord. Whoever's preaching that doesn't know what they're preaching. But in Psalm chapter 2, our Lord tells us, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and his wrath is kindled a little bit, and you perish from the way. Now, preacher, what in the world are we talking about? We're talking here about the kiss of subjection. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 7 for just a moment. And look at verse 36 down through verse 38. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. What do you have here? You have here the kiss of subjection. Again, verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And here you have the kiss of subjection. And put it down, my friend. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you come like this poor woman. You are bowed down at the feet of our Lord, and you recognize that he can save you or damn you. You know that you ought to be in hell, but I'll tell you this, you kiss him with the kiss of subjection, and we see it set forth in the Word of God. Then also, there is a kiss of adoration. Again, Luke chapter 15, and look with me at verse 20 down through verse 22, where we find the kiss of adoration. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. What do we have here? You have here the kiss of adoration. And we find when a sinner is on his way to Christ and he comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, our Lord adores that sinner. Now, I don't understand it any more than you do. How the Lord can adore a despicable, good-for-nothing, stinking, hell-deserving sinner like us. But this is what He does. He gives us a kiss of reconciliation, and He gives us a kiss of adoration when He receives us unto Himself. And we see this is the kind of kisses that are set forth in the Word of God. Now, there's one more thing. There's also the kiss of treachery. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 and look with me at verse 49. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Here you have the kiss of treachery. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I wonder how many of you people listening to me today profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but down deep in your heart, you've never come to a saving knowledge of Him. I want to say to you very kindly, if Christ doesn't mean everything to you, put it down. Then all you've done is kissed Him with a kiss of treachery, because something else means more to you than the Lord Jesus. This is the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the kiss of reconciliation. He gives us also the kiss of affection. And He gives us the kiss of adoration. And we find very clearly, we in turn give Him the kiss of salutation, yes. And we give Him the kiss of subjection and the kiss of adoration. But how sad to say, many times we kiss Him also with the kiss of treachery, because we don't obey Him and serve Him like we should. This is the kisses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my hope is that some of you, if you haven't already done so, have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and given Him and received from Him, I should say, the kiss of reconciliation. And you in turn have given Him the kiss of subjection. That means that Christ is your Lord and your Savior. And I want to say again, it's the greatest thing that can happen to you. It means that when Christ is your Lord and your Savior, He means more to you than anyone else on the face of the earth. And His cause means more to you than anything else that you've ever come in contact with. And come what may, sink or swim, live or die, you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of your ability. Oh, if you don't know Him, I urge you, kiss the Son while you have the opportunity, lest His wrath be kindled and you perish in the way. My hope is that some of you will get saved because of this message. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.